I'd never seen the stars shining so bright. I knew it had to be a very special night. An angel suddenly appeared, I fell down at his feet. He said, go into Bethlehem, the Christ child you shall greet.
A night to be remembered. A night to be remembered. History may try to pass it down, but no tongue or language will ever resound its beauty, its glory, its majesty, its splendor. A night to be remembered.
I stood in a holy awe when I reached that place, for the Prince of Peace had come, and when I saw his face, his holiness enshrouded me as homage I did show. And each time I recall that night, my heart is set aglow.
A night to be remembered. A night. History may try to pass it down, but no tongue or language will ever resound its beauty, its glory, its majesty, its splendor. A night to be
And thank you, Brother Dan and Miss Carmen. A night to be remembered. Certainly that is. And we thank God for that. I wanted to mention that we do have some kids' Bible reading guides out in the lobby. We've had some Bible reading guides that take you through the whole Bible. And the some of these are for teens, and they'll take them through the New Testament, I believe, and the kids take them through a smaller portion of the Bible throughout the year coming. And so I encourage everybody to get in the Word of God. And I'm going to preach in just a little bit about the wise men and their gifts that they give. And I don't want to over-spiritualize things. Please don't misunderstand it as such. But you know that we have been having our Christmas offering for Jesus, and all that is simply an opportunity for our church family to give to some of our good missionaries. We've chosen about five or six missionaries that we really believe could use some extra help this time of year. And so we encourage you to take the time over the next couple days, this next week, or into January to designate something on there for the Christmas offering for Jesus. And just know that all that will go to those missionaries that have been listed in our bulletins, and we'll help them with some projects that they've got going on, along with that financial aspect of things. Before I get started, I want to praise the Lord for what He's given us in the Avenue of Faith Promise Missions. And you know that you'll know by your bulletin, that is, that we surpassed the $300,000 mark for our amount promised in Faith Promise Missions for the next year. And that's just a thrill to my heart. Thank you. Thank you for being faithful in your faith promise giving and your faith promises. And may we, as we go forward in this next year, just rejoice in all that gets done through our mission endeavors. And I know it's not the easiest thing to do to come early, come early, stay late, read some of our missionary letters down that hallway, and just get acquainted with them. And so we just thank you so much for your heart for missions, and for those that have given extra. We praise the Lord for that, and may we wait till eternity to see the dividends on some of those investments, where moth and rust doth not corrupt, as the Bible says. And as you know, giving down here for different projects, I don't giving here, but investing here, it's all going to go away one of these days. And I encourage investing and be good, wise for retirement. I certainly don't ever discourage somebody from that. You ought to be a wise person with the money God gives you. But some of that we ought to send on ahead and send it and let the Lord use it for His work, for souls being saved. And so that's all I want to say about that. But just thank you for your faithfulness and your desire to give toward world missions. Would you open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 2? Matthew chapter 2, we're going to look at verses 1 down to 3, and then another section there a little later in that chapter. As you find your place in Matthew chapter number 2, I did hear about this little church, just a small town, kind of a Mayberry-style town, not much going on. And but there was this church, had a big old manger scene out in their yard. And sure enough, about Christmas Day, they were having some kind of Christmas meal for the church members. And some of the uppity-ups in the church, they're in every church. I don't want to name who they are, but you know who they were. And so they came and they were just disgusted because in the manger scene, everything was there, Joseph and Mary and all the other elements, the little stable. And but in the manger, baby Jesus was gone. They thought, how could somebody be so cruel to vandalize our beautiful manger scene? And how could they, of all aspects of the manger scene, to take the baby Jesus? And of course, they started formulating what they thought they were sure that had happened. And so as they argued back and forth, they said, I bet it was that boy that lives down on Sycamore. And one other person said, I bet it was that little kid over around the corner that always causes trouble, was knocking our trash cans over last year. They all had their plans, but they all kind of said, do you think it's that boy down on Sycamore? And one said, yeah, well, I think so, but I checked his house, he's not there. Well, they were just getting madder. You know how it goes, you just get steamy, and they were just convicted. They were already convicted him, thought that he was the guy. And sure enough, that little boy that lived down there in the street, in just about 5 or 10 minutes while they were still out there fuming, here he came with a brand new red radio flyer wagon. He was just pulling this wagon. They said, we're going to see what he's done and see if he's the one. And as the wagon got closer, sure enough, they saw not only was he pulling a wagon, but the baby Jesus out of their manger scene was in the back of the wagon. And when they found out, they were ready to light up. They were not spreading Christmas cheer at this point. And they said, boy, what in the world is wrong with you? Get that back. We can't believe we're going to call the police on you. He said, no, I didn't do anything. He said, I came last week and I made a deal with him. If he'd get me a red wagon, I'd give him a ride in it when I got it. So, Merry Christmas. Matthew chapter 2, the Bible says, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there were wise men from the east to Jerusalem. There came wise men, saying, where is he that's born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Look down at verse number 9, would you, in the same chapter. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they'd opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. I want to preach for just a little while this morning on this subject, what have I to give? Oh, there's been many songs written about the wise men. They give us many stories. They give us all of these. And I never get into a big issue about it, but technically the wise men probably came a little later as he was a child by this point. But we sing many songs about them. They were wise men, magi, kings in the east. An interesting study of these men would show you that they came hundreds of miles. And when they got there, gave gifts to the newborn king, Christ child. And we'll preach about that for just a little while. What have I to give? Father, bless us now is our prayer. And Lord, as we continue to celebrate Christmas, may we just take these few moments just to look introspectively about what we have to give. And I pray that you bless us in that endeavor. In Jesus' name, amen. They see a guiding star and come hundreds of miles. Many historians believe that these would have been descendants of the Old Testament figure Balaam, who was contracted to curse the people of Israel. If you remember the Old Testament stories by Balak, and Balak wanted Balaam to curse them, and he would not do it because he said he would and contracted such, but God wouldn't allow him to do it. And so many historians say that these wise men would have been from that area and were descendants of them. In Numbers chapter 24, as it recounts that story about Balaam, the little prophecy given talking about a star out of Jacob, and amazing how God weaves his testaments, the new and the old, together. But some of the ancestors of these wise men would have undoubtedly been around in the days of Daniel, when Daniel was used in Nebuchadnezzar's time. It's amazing when you study it out how God brings all those things together. But they've not only, these wise men, given us songs, we three kings and all of this, they've not only given us songs, and we certainly don't know how many they were. We think of about three because of the gold, frankincense, and myrrh, but regardless of how many they are, they give us many songs, they give us great thoughts and imagery, but they also give us a pattern to follow. And I want to show you what the Lord's given me for this morning, that pattern that we can learn from these wise men. I see in verse number one, point one, and that is, they give us the desire. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east, saying, "Where is he that's born king of the Jews?" I see that they have this desire. We don't know a lot about these men, but we do know that they have a desire to see the newborn king. God has put them in the pages of biblical history and secular history as those that traveled great distance to come and see the newborn king. It's been said that what we will do, we want to do, we will do. Or another way, where there's a will, there's a way. This was not an easy journey for this caravan. It's not a simple task, but it is a task that the wise men have the desire to do and they accomplish. Do you know why you're here this morning? You say, "I know why I'm here, because my wife said, hey, it's time to go to church, let's go." Or my mom said, "It's time to go to church, let's go." Or whatever the case. Yes, true, in some ways that is. But do you know why you're here this morning? You have a desire. You say, "Well, no, it's just tradition for me. I always go to church." That's good. But you know, on that train of tradition, you can get off anytime you want. You have a desire to be here. Oh, I'm not trying to pat you on the back or puff you up, but I do say praise the Lord for your desire to be gathered in the house of the Lord, where you might gather around His Word. You say sometimes it hits and sometimes it misses, but here's, let me tell you, what always hits when you show your desire to be in the house of the Lord: you give the Lord His rightful place in your life, in your schedule, in your week. You have a desire. Maybe you have a desire to do many other things, but I hope that our desire is to please the Lord. I'm relatively sure that all of us could do a lot more if we only had a desire to do. How many of you think you could be a better spouse if only we had a desire? How many of us think we could be a better neighbor if only we had a desire, a better child, a better parent, whatever the case might be? But I see the desire is here in these wise men as they, for some reason, by God, has put them in the pages of this historical setting. He has put them there and He's given them the desire to go see the newborn king. So what have I to give is my question that I ask at the beginning. Well, first of all, you have to have a desire. Because undoubtedly, the wise men didn't pick up their gifts along the way. They brought them from afar. Now, I don't know, because the Bible doesn't say, and nor have I found historical records that say either, but I imagine that if you could have had testimonials from those wise men, that there would have been times when they thought the traveling was too great, the distance was too far, or the sacrifice too much. And you wonder if the gifts that they'd already brought, the gold, the frankincense, the myrrh, that you wonder, and the provisions for their own selves for along the trip, you wonder if all that didn't motivate them because they were already committed. I see the desire. I see the desire that's here in the wise men. I ask you and I this morning, do I have that desire? What have I to give to Jesus Christ? And this certainly is not a sermon for the birthday offering for Jesus. Much more bigger picture than that. What have I to give? I see not only the desire, but look in verse 2 if you would. It says they, when they, whereas a newborn king, they're asking Herod, for we've seen a star in the east and we are come to worship him. Some say it's hard to exactly pinpoint how far these wise men would have traveled, possibly 400 miles, 600, 800 miles, depending. The Bible doesn't say where in the east they were from, but it would have been hundreds of miles of travel to get there. And I see not only the desire that these wise men have, but I see the dedication. Again, many times, just like in our lives, when we have a task that we want to do, there's the temptation to stop short. There's the temptation to say, we had a good start, but we haven't had a good finish. My in-laws, Amy's parents, have been married some 64 years. There's people in this church that have been married that long and longer. You know how somebody stays married to a man for 64 years? I know what you're thinking, insane amounts of drugs, but not really. There may be a little of those along the way, but that's not the case. It's dedication. Do you know it's been accepted now in 2020, and it will be in 2021, that it's been accepted that most people don't make it in marriage? Over 50% out of the church gets divorced, and unfortunately over 50% inside the church get divorced. So it's been accepted now in our age in which we live that you just have a 50-50 chance if you're lucky. You know, it's no harder today. It may be a little bit, but it's not much harder today to live with somebody than it was 64 years ago. Yes, the situation has changed and the demands of society has changed, but you know what's changed more than any of those? Our dedication. Oh, sure, maybe some issues come and issues go and all of this, but I tell you, the way that we stay together is the way we always stay together, and that's through dedication. It's not just these wise men as they come. They don't just have the desire to begin a journey. They have a dedication to finish the journey, because finish or desiring to get there doesn't get you to Herod's palace to say, where is he that's born, the King of the Jews? We've seen his star. We've come to worship him. Desire gets you started. Dedication gets you finished. And it's the same in your life. You know how you start a new project? You know how you start a new house? You just decide you want to do it. You know how you, I don't want to meddle too much, but you know, you men, how you started a project in the basement? You start a project in the garage? It's going to be a beautiful bookshelf when you're done. At least that's what you said 6 years ago. Desire got you started, and now I've ruined your Christmas spirit, haven't I? Dedication gets you finished. And I see in these wise men, as we can take from some secular people who come, that they have the dedication to move and do what the Lord has put on their hearts. Many people desire to live for Jesus. Many people desire to serve Jesus or give to Jesus. But when the going gets tough, as the old saying goes, instead of get going, they go another way. It's not as common right now as it was, but you can still find them in plenty of places. But do you know why there's bell ringers in the front of stores as you go in? I saw one just the other night. You know why there's bell ringers in the front of some of these stores at Christmas time? You say, yeah, they're out there for the Salvation Army. Do you know why there is a Salvation Army? Because William Booth had the dedication. He's the founder of the Salvation Army. They were looking over some paperwork one time, and they were labeling his volunteers. And as they were labeling those volunteers, somebody had put, just as a description, they're like a little army. Those workers that are working with Booth and his organization are like an army. And he scratched over atop that army. He put, no, they're like a Salvation Army. And the reason that you see those bell ringers still yet today is because of the dedication. You don't get much prize for starting, do you? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Most folks don't care how you start. Instead, they care how we finish. Now, that's not to discourage you if you've quit 12 times, because I believe all of us can look back over our lives and see times when we start and we quit. But I'm telling you, in your Christian life, you ought to pick up from here and say, not only did I have a desire to serve Jesus, but I'll have the dedication to follow through with that desire, and I will serve the Lord. in these wise men. I see the desire. There came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. They had the determination, they had the desire, but then they had the dedication because they finished their hundreds of miles journey to get to the king, and they say, "We are come to worship him." I see not only that, but I look. If you look in verse number 11, as we go down through the story, you know the parts in 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Herod lies to him and tells him, as soon as you find him, come back because we want to worship him. We're going to fast forward, as it were, through the rest of the story. In verse number 11, when they were coming to the house. Now the final culmination of their journey, the final part in what they've labored so long to see. And when they were coming to the house, they saw their young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. When they'd opened their treasures, you know the story. I see not only did they have the desire and the determination, but now the delight. What they did is what we'll do. They saw the Savior. They saw the Messiah. They saw the Christ child. They saw the one that they'd come to look for. They did the same thing that I believe you and I will do when the Bible says every knee shall bow. We either bow now as proclaiming Jesus Christ as our Savior before we leave this world, or everybody will bow their knee and proclaim Him as Lord before they're cast into eternity without Him. I see the delight that's given here, though. Now the miles don't seem as long. Now the labor doesn't seem as intense. Now all of that journey has kind of taken its way and slipped into their little obscurity, because now they are doing what they wanted to do all along. Now they're before the Christ child. Now they are giving gifts to the Messiah. Now the determination has paid off. The desire has come into full bloom now, and they get the delight of standing before the Lord. Can I say it like this? No dedication, no delight. We could take you to hundreds of places, although we would not. We could take you to hundreds of places who have of homes that have started families. And mom ran off, or dad ran off, or their brokenness, and they can't find one part of the family. Oh, we haven't seen him for years. It doesn't take much to start, but it does take a lot to finish. And can I tell you, the delight comes when you get to bow the knee before the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm reminded of what the Scripture says, of the delight that we'll have if we're faithful and serve the Lord as we stand before Him and hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servants." And as I conclude this morning, let me show you the gifts that you already know. But in verse 11, at the end of it, it says, they'd opened their treasures, they presented, or they offered to Him. That word presented is the same word as we get the word offering from. Isn't it amazing? They were the ones that were bringing their offerings. Just a little side note, if we could time out on this sermon and just give you a little thing. When Amy and I, when we give some out of command. I believe the Bible teaches you give a certain amount out of command, but then we want to give more past that so we can give an offering. That's where you get the word. The same word that as they presented is the same word for offering. I'll get back to our regularly scheduled program here. And they presented unto Him gifts. Now every person in the room would know that the gifts were gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You can't live in America, it's hard to anyways, without probably learning that. But let me give you just this little thought as we close this morning. Gold. A royal substance for a king. Didn't look much like a king. Crude surroundings, straw in the manger where He was laying. His poor mother with the joy of God on her face, but her clothing did not represent anybody who would have brought royalty into this world. By all passerbys, His father, which was His stepfather, but His father standing there, a poor working class man. Didn't look like a king. But God had sent these messengers from the east to come and worship Him and come and present Him gold, which is a gift of royalty, a gift for a king. Frankincense is a substance that's used by a priest for holy incense. There's other uses for it as well. But one of the uses is it's used in incense for the priestly work of somebody who would be lighting the fires and letting the smoke rise. Wise men gives him the gold fit for a king. The frankincense that could be used in incense or burnings of offerings to the Lord as by a priest. And then myrrh has many purposes, but one of the purposes is it's an aid for embalming or anointing a body, a dead body for burial. Now certainly it was not kept till Christ went to the cross. But the significance and symbolism of that myrrh that's there used for the anointing of a body before burial is reminding us of His redemptive work, of what Christ truly came, because He came to be offered. And so that myrrh that was brought, used for the person that was going to be dead, but used on a Redeemer. So my friend, as the wise men brought it, whether they knew the significance or not, but as they bring gold, a gift for a king, they bring frankincense, gifts used for a priest, and they bring myrrh used for the body of a Redeemer. And He truly was and is our prophet, priest. He's our priest, king, and Redeemer. We see the wise men bring the gifts to this king that was born in a lowly stable. So what have I to give is what I ask. Friend, I would challenge you and I all to give our finest to the Lord. And again, please don't misunderstand. I'm not trying to get more money out of people. I'm so excited about the faith promise. I'm excited about the money that's come in for all of these things. I'm excited about the building. I'm excited for folks that are going to start giving. They've indicated they're going to start giving toward our building program or fund here at the church. But this sermon is not about any of that. You understand, we could give money without giving our heart. It's easy for some folks to write a check. But if we give Christ our heart, and I don't only mean our heart and salvation, but I just mean our heart, and we give our allegiance, our love to Him, then that money will take care of itself. Did you ever notice that? Did you notice it's so much easier to spend money on people you love? As we ask ourselves, what have I to give? May we bring our finest gifts to Christ. And I believe that we ought to start with us. As a little poor boy said, Jesus, I didn't have anything else to give, so I just gave you me. And there's many people who give much more impressive, at least to a church board, gifts. But there'll never be a gift more precious than you as you give yourself to the Lord. If you've been one of the thousands to attend one of the performances of Handel's Messiah, undoubtedly you, along with the rest of the crowd, stood for the opening sounds when the Hallelujah Chorus began. History tells us that for some reason or another, there's dispute on why, but history tells us that as the Hallelujah Chorus began in Handel's Messiah at the premiere, 1743, King George II stood. I like to think that it's because it's customary for somebody to stand in the presence of royalty higher than you when they enter. Regardless of the reason, King George stood when the Hallelujah Chorus began. And I like to think, because even in his shape and in his mind, that he knew that it was singing about the Messiah. He was proclaiming that Jesus was the superior royalty. And as the songs and the music of that night went to the Savior, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the King of Kings, King George stood in reverence to Him. And so this morning, I ask at the beginning, what have I to give? Well, first of all, we've got to decide, is the one Jesus Christ worth giving anything to? My friend, He is. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Who is He in yonder stall? The Messiah, the Christ child. We learn from the wise men that they had the desire, the dedication, and then the delight to present the Savior with their gifts. My friend, I hope that you have a desire to live your life and present your life to that same Savior, Jesus Christ. And I believe that if you have the desire and the dedication to present to Him your life, then all those other things that maybe some preachers are after, finances and all of those things, I believe those will come because with you come those. But I challenge you when you ask yourself this question, as I close, what have I to give? May you be like that little poor boy that I told you about, that said, Jesus, I don't have anything else to give, so I'm going to step in and give you me. Would you give the Lord yourself this Christmas season? Father, bless us now is our prayer. Lord, I ask you to lead us, guide us, direct us. Lord, what have we to give? Certainly nothing that would surpass what you possess already. Lord, you're the creator of the world. But Lord, may us, we, this Christmas season, give you ourselves. Now, folks, our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Here's